Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Massachusetts is known for a number of public policy firsts, establishing Boston Common, say, as the first public park, 1634. First public school in America, Boston Latin, 1635. North America's first subway tunnel, 1897. And we were even the first state to pass a minimum wage. That was 1912. In other words, an historic leader in innovative public policies, such is the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. But in more recent years, we've lost our edge, says Evan Horowitz. He's the Boston Globe's quick study columnist, and he joins us now. Hello, Evan.
Hello, Meghna.
Okay, well, first of all, how do we know we've lost our edge? Is public policy a thing you can measure?
I made it up. It sounded like a good call. No, there's been an amazing data set that came out recently. A couple of academics in the Midwest put together a list of policies that started in one state and spread across multiple states. It was hundreds of policies. They've tracked it over hundreds of years, so you can see who had the first law making animal cruelty a felony and how many states adopted it and when they adopted it.
So a contagion of good ideas.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, if states are going to be laboratories of democracy, someone should check what their products are and who's using them, and that's what these guys did. And it's an amazing work. And when you scan the database for references to Massachusetts, two things pop out. One, we used to be really innovative. As you said, you've listed some of the major ones. I'll go through more if you want. Recently, we don't show up on the list, and it's a little disturbing.
Okay, how recently?
So go back to 2000. There is one example of Massachusetts, and it's not exactly the most inspiring example. It's first gay marriage. I say it's not inspiring because it was forced upon the legislature by the Supreme Judicial Court.
Yeah.
So this is not a case of us innovating through legislation. This is a case of the courts compelling us to do something that then other states took on.
And to that point, I mean, Hawaii and Vermont had also gone through their own civil unions, gay marriage.
Right. There were other
well.
Civil union movements.
Yeah.
Right.
So we weren't like first. But so I take your point.
That's the one. And so going back to 1990, there are about 12 examples here compared to California, 37 examples in California. We're not talking about this administration. We're not talking about the last two. We're talking about a period of decades. But over the most recent decades, we seem to have lost our innovation mojo.
What about universal health care coverage?
So universal health care coverage is maybe the best candidate here. It's not in the database for the reason that other states didn't pick it up. The federal government did.
Right.
We did introduce Romney Care, which was an innovative policy. So this one, I think, counts and is left off for, you know, a technical reason. That is, it didn't spread to Maine. It didn't spread to Missouri. It spread to the federal government.
So you're saying that there's data that seem to indicate that, what, for the past 18, 20-ish years maybe, the pace at which we're providing public policy innovation has dropped off dramatically.
Dramatically, yes.
Okay. So the next question is,
why? Oh, lucky guess. Set me up for that. So there are a lot of possibilities. As I say, you don't want to look too narrowly. This isn't about the current governor. This isn't about the previous governor. This goes back at least, you know, several administrations. I think one possibility is that it's about the way the current legislature sees itself, which is that it seems to cede a lot of energy to the governor's office. Legislators are not saying, here's what we're going to do. We're in charge. We have supermajorities in both bodies. We can do whatever we want and override any veto that we want. Here's what we're going to do. They say, well, we'll negotiate with the governor. We'll see, not just this governor, but in general, we'll see what the leadership, you know, on Beacon Hill really wants to do. And we'll go from there. And that's a change. A lot of times these kinds of innovative policies have to get built from the bottom up through the legislature, not coming down. And we seem to have lost, I think, a little bit of that sense of initiative.
Okay. So in the meantime, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Evan, but give us... But we're live on the radio, so why not? Do you have examples of some of the innovative things that other states have done that we've adopted?
Sure, let's stick with California. Yeah. Well, let's go back in time, okay? Let's go back to, you know, you started in the 17th century, which is the best place to start because we get to real American history. But yeah, as you say, first public school, parks, then we have the minimum wage in the early 20th century. Massachusetts was also the first state to have a parole system to keep people out of jail and help them reintegrate. So this is the major innovation, the first state to require drivers carry auto insurance, things like that. More recently, if you look at a place like California, whatever they've been doing, tightening emissions standards,
right.
For instance, we're not really doing that. They have they fought for the authority to do that. They're introducing new regulations on electronic waste, which is a big deal. They are looking at, you know, ways to enforce domestic abuse rulings across state lines, things like that.
Okay.
So some of it is smaller bore,
right,
but it's being picked up.
So look, I'm not necessarily rushing to Beacon Hill's defense here in its maybe lack of innovative muscle at the moment. But, you know, we started off by talking about policy innovation by, you know, ideas that were taken up by other states. Maybe it's not such a terrible thing that Massachusetts is looking at the other 49 states now and saying, well, instead of us leading the way, we're going to see what you're doing first and see if it works or not. Because we get to let other states test out the ideas to find out which ones are good or bad.
Sure. I do this all the time when I go to restaurants with my family.
What are they having?
Exactly. You look at other tables and you see what it is, and then you decide for yourself. It's less risky. Now, I think this is a perfectly reasonable strategy, you know, see what works and then do it. Unfortunately, not every state can do this because then no one will be innovating. You're right. So there is a problem if every state takes the attitude, well, let's see what other people are doing and then we'll follow, you'll end up with less innovation. And I think the key to the idea that states will become sort of innovative laboratories is that they will risk failing. Uh-huh. It's okay to fail. In fact, it's an essential part of how innovation has to happen across states is that you try things and some will fail. Today's a good example. California, they weren't happy with polarization, so they changed their electoral system. Right. How are they going to change their electoral system? Well, they're not going to have one Democrat and one Republican. They'll have primaries where the two top people get to move forward. And it seems to be blowing up in the party's faces a little bit today because there are races where there are just too many Democrats running and they're going to split the vote and then none of them will make it past the primary. So in this case, you might say, yeah, it's a good thing not every state jumped on this. On the other hand, it's a good thing they tried because we're learning things and other states may take a different approach to the very real problem of growing political polarization in this country.
Now, you are our resident wonk here, but this is one place where sort of analysis does meet head on with politics. And we've got a couple seconds left here, Evan. I want to just circle back to, you were talking about there's a supermajority in both chambers of Beacon Hill, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, is the problem incumbency and inertia, party inertia? Is that part of the problem here in Massachusetts? Do we just need a more churn in our politics?
I'm not a big fan necessarily of churn, but I do think you're pointing to a problem, which is that there is a kind of lack of policy energy in the legislature. Now, part of it may be there's too much incumbency. Part of it may be there's just too much complacency among Democrats who don't really fear challenges because we're in a one-party state, essentially. And that's a problem. So you have this thing where leadership members don't fear challenges from backbenchers, and you have a thing where legislators in general don't fear challenges from opponents. That could change over time, but I do think something about the stranglehold that the Democratic Party has over this state and that current Democratic leaders have over their houses in the legislature is definitely fundamental to this issue.
We should never become complacent about anything. No complacency. That's my didactic lecture for the day.
Hear, hear.
Evan Horowitz, he's the Boston Globe's Quick Study columnist and Radio Boston regular. It's always great to talk with you, Evan. Thank you so much.
A pleasure, Meghna. Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.